Good morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. I will say my voice is usually not this deep. Shepherd has had a bit of a cold and it finally caught up with me and Danielle. So if the sermon's a little shorter than normal, I guess that's good for y'all. But anyway. All right, Luke chapter 2, verse 41. This is God's living and active word. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes that we might behold the risen Christ and be made into his image. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So today is the day after Christmas, and it's the final Sunday in Advent. And so I ask myself, what comes in Scripture right after the first Christmas? Well, in Luke's account, he jumps from newborn Jesus to 12-year-old Jesus, visiting the temple with his parents for the Passover. And so at 12 years old, Jesus gives us a taste of his ministry and his message, a kind of foreshadowing of what's to come about 18 years later. And what's to come, we'll discover, is not on people's radars. With Mary and Joseph, we'll see that this is not the Jesus we expected. And so first, we see that Jesus is not where we expected him to be. And so let's set the scene briefly. The first thing we see is that Jesus has awesome parents. In verse 41, we see that his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. That's a big deal. That's not just what everybody did. Their yearly consistency speaks to Mary and Joseph's character. They were godly parents. And in addition, Mary's attendance is significant, as only Jewish males were required to attend these feasts. And so Mary going showed her godliness. The second thing we see is that in verse 42, Jesus going to Passover at 12 years old is significant. As one commentator explains, the Jewish custom specified that a boy would go to the Passover a year or two before his 13th birthday. And at that time, he would become what was called a son of the commandment. In other words, kind of the law, the Jewish law would be, he would be expected to follow that in unique ways than when he was younger. And that's literally translated bar mitzvah. So that's where we get son of the commandments, bar mitzvah. And so while there, Joseph and Mary would have showed him around, would have, if he hadn't been before, they would have toured him around the temple, the city, just to show him, hey, when you come as an adult next year, this is what it's going to be like. And so everything's going great until something goes very not great. So Mary and Joseph, the third thing we see is that when they make camp on the first night, they're traveling after the Passover, they're going back to Bethlehem. And they realize that something's not quite right. Mary says, "Is Jesus with you?" "No." Joseph says, I thought it was with you." They would have traveled by caravan with others. And so there wouldn't have just been them three. There would have been a lot of people from their hometown, their neighbors, surrounding villages, and so that would keep them safe on the road. So families would reunite at the evening encampment. You know, they might get separated throughout the travels, but then at night they would all kind of reconvene and say, okay, everybody's here. Joseph and Mary found each other. but they didn't find Jesus. And so they made a quick decision to return to Jerusalem. You know, they didn't see him around there, so they're like, maybe he's back in Jerusalem somehow. By the time they got there and started scouring the city, it's already been 2 days since they last saw Jesus. One day out, one day traveling back to Jerusalem, and then it was on the third day that they found him. And so on the third day, they enter the temple, and Joseph says, Mary, could that be him? There Jesus is, sitting among the teachers. This is not where they expected him to be. When they saw Jesus, it says they were astonished. Likely a combination of shock, relief, and exasperation, a little bit of frustration. Can you relate to Mary and Joseph at all? Have you found that Jesus is sometimes, or maybe often, not where you expect him to be? Like when the waves filled the disciples' boat while Jesus was down below, fast asleep on a cushion. Or when Jesus stopped by a well outside Samaria to speak with a woman of ill repute. Or when his dinner party in Jericho was with Zacchaeus and not the religious elite. What about you? Have there been times in your life when you've needed Jesus, you've wanted Jesus, but he seems to have vanished? He seems to not be there right when you need him. Mary's words upon finding Jesus reveal a hint of frustration. Do you catch that? Son, why have you treated us so? How could you be so uncaring? Have there been times when you can't sense Jesus near and resentment begins to build? Jesus, where were you when? Fill in the blank. Jesus is at times not where we expect him to be. Or perhaps he's there, but not in the way we expected him to be there. And so that's the first thing we see. The second thing we see is that Jesus is not what we expected him to be like. Okay, so we see three qualities that we'll highlight. That these are unexpected qualities. First, 12-year-old Jesus is wise. Remember where Mary and Joseph found him? Verse 46, so he was in the temple. And so during Passover season, there would have been, it was customary for the Sanhedrin, which is kind of the body of religious leaders at the time, to meet in public in the temple and kind of discuss, you know, kind of like a round table, religious and theological questions. And anybody was welcome to join. Anybody could sit in on that. And so that's where Jesus was. He was in the temple, and it says he was sitting among the teachers. And so this is interesting. Teachers would sit with their students in the ancient world. You know, the teacher wouldn't be up front kind of teaching, and everybody else would studiously take notes. They were all together, sitting together, discussing. And there would have likely been some famous teachers there because it's Passover. Okay, it's the big time of the year, so a lot of the famous teachers from around would come and be discussing. So this isn't just the normal teachers. These are the hot shots of the time. And what was Jesus doing there? Well, we read he was listening to them and he was asking them questions. It was common in Judaism for students to kind of have this question and answer dialogue with their teachers. And so it was really a way to learn. I learn best that way when there's kind of discussion, questions, answers going on. And so in this setting, we read that all who heard Jesus were amazed. What were they amazed at? At his understanding and his answers. And so that word translated understanding, it's more than that. It refers to the ability to penetrate to the heart of an issue. It's to see through, you know, kind of the surface stuff and get to the heart of something. And Jesus, he wasn't just simply smart. He understood things to their very core. Jesus possessed a depth of wisdom far beyond his years. And so that's the first thing. Jesus is wise. The second thing we see is that 12-year-old Jesus displays divine intimacy, intimacy with the divine. And this comes out in his dialogue with his parents after they find him. This brief exchange, Mary is clearly distraught. She says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Another way to say that is, "Son, why have you been so insensitive? You have no idea the deep mental pain and trauma you've just put my husband and I through." And so Jesus answers their question with two questions of his own, which reveal the heart of his mission. He says, "Why were you looking for me?" That's kind of a bold thing to say to your mom after she hasn't seen you in 3 days. "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And so what's going on there? Jesus is actually making several seismic statements, ground-shattering statements here. And the first one is this: he has a special relationship with God, intimate relationship with God. Notice, both Mary and Jesus use the word father, but they don't mean the same person. Mary spoke of Jesus' earthly legal father, Joseph. Jesus speaks of his heavenly, eternal father. And so Jesus was claiming to be nothing less than God's son. A claim that later, remember, gets him killed. And so there's this sense of divine intimacy here. He and God the Father have a one-of-a-kind relationship. No one else has this kind of relationship with God the Father than Jesus. And we sing of that at Christmas. "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity." And so Jesus has intimacy with God. The second thing we see here, though, is that Jesus is also certain about his purpose on earth. You know, that, I mean, I can relate to this kind of questioning, like, why am I here? What am I doing here? You know, and Jesus didn't question that at all. He's 12 and he already knows the trajectory of his life. "Mom, you should have known where to look. I must be in my Father's house." Jesus has an urgency to do his Father's will. And we see it all through his life. He says he sets his face to Jerusalem. He's got to get there. So much so that he stayed in Jerusalem when his parents left the Passover. He had to be there. So Jesus is shockingly wise. He has an intimate relationship with the Father. And he is certain of his purpose. Which, if you blend those together, makes the last quality surprising. Jesus was submissive to his parents. In verses 50 through 51, we see that his parents didn't grasp what was going on. It says they didn't understand what he said. This earth-shattering statement that Jesus just made. And yet we read this, these jaw-dropping words, that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, obeyed his parents. The lawgiver, fulfilling the fifth commandment to honor his father and mother. Jesus is not where we expected him to be. And he's not what we expected him to be like. And so that brings us to the last thing. Jesus is not doing what we expected him to do. Think about this. Among all the expectations and hopes for the Messiah, the picture of Jesus sitting in the temple discussing theology is not one of those pictures of this coming Messiah. Perhaps the expectations of this Messiah fell in line with Old Testament examples, you know, where God saved his people from their enemies through warrior judges, warrior kings, you know, killing their enemies, putting them to the sword. No one expected a king who would defeat his enemies by transforming them into friends. With thousands of years of prophecy and foreshadowing, how could even those closest to Jesus not get it? It just goes completely over their heads. Think of Jesus' cousin and forerunner, John the Baptist. You know, he grew up with Jesus. He's related to him. He calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, it seems like he's on track, you know, it seems like he's tracking with it. Early in Jesus' ministry, we find that John in prison is having second thoughts. So much so that he sends two of his followers to ask Jesus this question. "Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" Or what about the 12 disciples, Jesus' closest friends, students who ate, slept, traveled, suffered with Jesus for 3 years? Surely they would get it right, of course. By the final week of Jesus' life, Jesus has already explained twice what's about to happen to him. Both times it goes over their heads, so surely this third time will help, right? And so in Luke 18:31, it says this, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" It's hard to get more clear than that. I mean, it basically tells them everything that's about to happen. Surely that time it'll sink in, but we continue reading. "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." What about Jesus' own mom? What about his mother? The angel literally told Mary, remember? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. I must be in my Father's house." And yet, when Jesus said that he must be in his Father's house, remember in verse 50? Mary and Joseph, it says, did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. She had been told verbatim, he would be the Son of God. And she didn't get it. The Son of God, could it be God himself come to save us? Come to save us from our sins and close the path to death and tears by his own death and tears? This is not what anyone expected. And while they did not understand at the time, we are told that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Mary, that word treasured up, it's to keep something close. Mary held on to Jesus' words, knowing that one day, somehow, this would all make sense. She knew all along that there was more to Jesus than anyone dared to hope. And her understanding of Jesus' identity, we see it deepening over the years. So that by the wedding at Cana, remember when the wine ran out? She could tell the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. I don't fully get this, but there's something special about Jesus. Do whatever he tells you." She knew that Jesus is not the Jesus that we expected. He's the Jesus we need. She knew that he's not where we expected him to be, because he had to be in his Father's house, showing us the way to the Father. She knew that he's not what we expect him to be like. He's much more. He's wisdom with flesh. He's one with the Father, submitting himself not just to his parents, but to death. She knew that he would not do what anyone expected him to do. Years later, I wonder if she reflected on, you know, after Jesus died and resurrected and ascended, I wonder what she was pondering and treasuring then. She must have wondered what it was like for Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, to go up to Jerusalem for the Passover, knowing that one day he would fulfill it. He would be the final, the perfect, spotless Passover lamb. All the blood of all the previous lambs pointing to his blood. The temple pointing to his body. The teachers who sat amazed. Perhaps some of the same very ones calling for his death 20 years later. And so whatever questions Mary still had, well, they're all answered now. And so will it be with our questions. Jesus, why have you treated me so? Why aren't you there when I need you to be there? Where were you when... And he'll say, I was there. I never left. And we will find him on that day in the heavenly temple, the New Jerusalem, the teacher seated on a throne with his students gazing on. And we will be amazed at his understanding and his answers. And it will all make sense. He had to be in his Father's house so that we might be brought in to taste that same intimacy with the Father, so that we could pray, Our Father, who is in heaven. And with Mary, we will never finish treasuring all these things in our hearts. He's not the Jesus we expected. He is far better. Hark, the herald angels sing, Glory to the risen King. Let's pray. Oh, Father, open our eyes to this risen King. He's not the Jesus we expected. And even now in my own life and in each of our lives, there are ways that we are grieving, we are hurting, we are wrestling, we are questioning, where are you, Jesus? Why weren't you there when this happened? Why aren't you here now? Jesus, help us to know that you're not what we expected. You're far better. You're God in flesh, and you've come to dwell with us. And we pray this in your name, even through these offerings. Amen.